Would you take your Bibles and turn to an Old Testament passage, the book of Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah, Job, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. It's near, just to the left of the middle of your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 12. We will, in a moment, look at verse 27 and onward. But I want to say this as we turn in our Bibles, that the world all over is looking for joy. They are searching for joy. It appears that the sound of joy has gone missing in our day. And instead of the sound of joy, it has been replaced by the sound of sorrow. All over we see this. People are looking for joy in pills, but pills only bring more problems. They look for it in relationships, but the relationships fail. They are looking for it in money, but the money just seems to disappear and there's never enough. They are looking for success, only to find sadness. We are a society that wants it all, but has nothing. A society that is searching for something, but yet is completely lost. So what is the answer? I want to speak to you today about a joy that can be heard and not just seen. I want to talk about a joy that can be experienced and not just expected. A joy that does not come from a bottle, but by believing. A joy that does not come from running from problems, but from receiving promises. A joy that does not come from pills, but from a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus says this in John chapter 3, verse 29. This joy is mine. You see, in the Lord Jesus, we are going to find a joy that is not just simply seen, but it is heard. The sound of joy that is missing in our society will be found in Jesus. And in this chapter, Nehemiah chapter 12, it's like when you just open it, it just starts to sing. When you read the passage, you will hear a city abuzz with excitement. You, I assume, would hear the trumpets readying their tune. You can just hear those stringed instruments getting their tune. The choir director is tapping his stand, preparing the singers, and the choir is practicing their song. And you are going to see a joy that can be heard. The title of our message this morning is this: When Joy Can Be Heard. When joy can be heard. Let's look together at Nehemiah chapter 27 together. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. They sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of Nephthitis, from the house of Gilgal, from the fields of Geba, Asmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the walls. Let us pray together before we begin. Oh God, I do ask that you would help us to see that there is a joy that we can experience, and it's found in you. It is a joy that is not just seen, it is heard. And I pray, oh God, that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear the marvelous things in your word this morning as we look into it this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A joy that can be heard. How is that possible? Well, first I want you to see that there is an appointed day of Thanksgiving. This here is a Thanksgiving weekend that we are celebrating. But in this passage in Nehemiah chapter 12, there was an appointed day of Thanksgiving. You see, Nehemiah was a wonderful man. I remember asking Les Kingdon, if there's someone in the Bible that you could meet, who would it be? And he says it would be Nehemiah. Because of his marvelous way at organizing the people of God for an incredible task. You see, he was the cupbearer for the king. And he heard about the state of Jerusalem from afar off. And he began to be burdened in his soul as he heard about their state. And by the gracious hand of God, he was given the opportunity to return to Jerusalem, his homeland. And he organized the people of God. And they built the walls that had been torn down. And now, after the miraculous completion of these walls, Nehemiah set there to be a day of celebration. Oh, we ought to celebrate. When I heard the good report of what God was doing at our church, I said to Pastor John, let's go celebrate. And so we went out for a lunch to celebrate the goodness of God. Because it is so good to thank God. And so Nehemiah sets a specific day. It was this day, everyone knew, the day of dedication, that they were going to be offering their thanksgiving and praise to God. And I want to tell you that we do not have to wait for a day, because the day is today. There is no better day than today to celebrate. Because the Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me ask you this question. If God made the day and he told you to celebrate in it, wouldn't he be a cruel God if he made a day that you weren't able to celebrate? You see, he has made you a day. And you can see the goodness of God in that day. And you can celebrate. And we ought to celebrate. And I want to ask this question. Are you glad today? Are you glad today? You don't have to wait for a sunny day, a perfect day. Some people are always waiting for tomorrow. The most favorite diet I have ever heard about is the diet that starts tomorrow. You see, that's a great way to get out of it. When are you starting? Tomorrow. When are you starting? Tomorrow. And so we have this idea that we're just going to wait till our circumstances arrange themselves before we start to praise. Sometimes we ought to praise before we can see. You might not see the circumstances arranging themselves in your favor, but you can choose to thank God that he is the one above all the circumstances. He is the great God. I heard someone who experienced an earthquake, and everyone came to this person, and they said, how come you're so calm despite this earthquake? And she said, because I follow a God who can shake the world. You see, we have so much to be thankful for because our God is a great God. And not only was it a specific day, it was a special day. It was a special day. It was the day of dedication of the walls. You see, they had labored and toiled and worked side by side for 52 days. In fact, for Nehemiah, he could look back almost 1 year prior to when this had all begun. And how now he had seen the miraculous completion of these walls. And God had protected them, helped them, and strengthened them. And I can just imagine that if the song had been written, they would have said, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. If they had thought of it, they would have written it. Because this was true in their own lives. They had seen the faithfulness of God. And so they had a special day to celebrate. And you say, well, what are my reasons? I don't feel very thankful. I don't see God working on my behalf. I want to tell you that this is reason enough for you to celebrate. Number one, that Jesus died for your sins. Consider what you would have if Jesus had not died for your sins. The guilt, being lost, without relationship with Almighty God. What a reason to celebrate. You can celebrate that today God has given you your very breath. It is a gift from God and so worthy of celebrating. And when we gather like this on a Sunday morning, we have a very special reason to celebrate because we don't worship a dead Savior, but a risen Savior. Praise God that we can have a reason to celebrate. And not only then was there an appointed day, and my friends, we don't have to wait for a certain day, it is today. But there was also an available way of thanksgiving. You see, there may be some of you who would say, I just don't feel thankful. I don't feel thankful this morning. And in fact, if you understood my life, you would see that there's a reason why I'm not thankful. And why I don't have joy and why I don't have any happiness in my life. You see, in this passage, there is a marvelous way shown in which we can experience the joy that God wants to give you today. Praise God, there is a way. You can't do it without Him. You might as well just try to swim across the Atlantic. Just not possible. You cannot muster up this joy, but it can be found in God. You see, Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping but for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God, there is joy in the morning. With God, there is a way to turn your gloom into a glow. Praise God that with Him there is a way to turn your despair into delight. Praise God that there is a way to turn your pain into peace, your mourning into dancing, and sorrow into laughter. Because our God is able to do the impossible. And so how does it start? How can you turn your gloom into a glow? Number one, it starts with an invitation. It starts with an invitation. Look in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness. You see, here was an invitation that was sent out to celebrate. And not one Levite was to be missed. I love how it says that they searched all their places to find the Levites to invite them to celebration. You see, God does not want you to miss His invitation for you to celebrate. For you to celebrate. The Bible says that when Jesus came, He came to seek and to save the lost. You might be very well this morning, very far from God, but He knows where you are, and He is seeking you and inviting you to Himself. And we ought to understand that Jesus is not inviting you to a funeral, but to a feast. He is inviting you to a life of joy. A life of joy. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Can you imagine having dinner with Jesus? And you say, well, I don't see Jesus as a very happy individual in the Bible. We see him mourning over Jerusalem and suffering. But despite his suffering and despite the mourning, there was a thread of joy in the life of Jesus. I find it amazing that the little children wanted to be with Jesus. You know, typically, children would be afraid, but they wanted to be with him. I could just imagine that these little children saw a twinkle in the eye of Jesus. An invitation to come to him and to celebrate. See, some people get the idea that coming to Jesus is a life of gloom and doom, but coming to Jesus is quite the opposite. It is a life of joy and peace. This is what he offers to you. God is offering to you joy, a real, lasting, genuine joy. He has sent you his invitation, signed with the blood of Jesus, inviting you today to come. To come. Not only was there an invitation, but then there was also a purification. Continue to look in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 30. Then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. You see, before there is a celebration, there needs to be a cleansing. They purified themselves. You see, when they were invited to come to celebrate, they knew that they were coming to celebrate God, and they knew that God was a holy God, and they were a sinful people. And so they purified themselves. The word to purify means to cleanse. Can you imagine sitting down at your Thanksgiving dinner, and the dishes had all been dirty and in the dishwasher, and you open it up, and you find out that it had not run? And so instead of clean dishes, you just decided to set the table with dirty dishes? Wouldn't that just ruin the celebration? I mean, who wants that? It's not fitting for the occasion. And so these people, they came, they purified themselves before God. Because you can't celebrate if you haven't been purified. The book of James talks about this in James chapter 3. It says, with it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or image of God. And out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, James says. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Do you know why there's no joy in some people's life? Is that they have not been purified. They're living in a life of sin. Fresh water and bitter water cannot come from the same spring. And if there is sin in your life, you cannot praise. But the answer to that, how can then we have a clean heart before God? The answer is Jesus. He is the only one who can cleanse your life, and that's why he came in the first place. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and here's the word, and purify, purify us from all unrighteousness. There is no reason that you have to come on a Sunday morning with a dirty heart, because thank God for Jesus, who shed his blood that we might have a purified heart that we might be able to celebrate. So not only just an invitation, not just a purification, but then there was an organization, an organization. Look at it in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 31. So I, Nehemiah says, brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. And I want to stop here. I want some thanksgiving choirs here at Heritage. And I have had a hard time of it trying to put together choirs because I don't always have enough time to do it justice. But if we can pray for a director and ask God for some people, I'm taking the name Thanksgiving Choir and I'm putting it as a label. Because here Nehemiah sets out two choirs and he calls them the Thanksgiving Choirs. And here he organizes. Continue to read. One went to the right hand on the wall towards the refuse gates, and after them went a whole pile of individuals, and you can read their names later. There was an organization. You see, when God invites you to himself and he purifies you, you are no longer just an individual. You are an individual in the family of God. He gives you a specific role. And what happens is sometimes, although we know God and have experienced his cleansing, we are living in isolation rather than communion. We are not a part of the family of God. There was a choir, yes, but the choir was made up of many individuals. And if you read through this passage, it's name after name after name after name of individuals. Did they all have the same part? No, they were different. God had a specific role for each one and a part to play. Some played the stringed instruments, some sang, some maybe read words of thanksgiving, but they all had a part in this marvelous celebration. Suppose that the invitation had gone out and they had responded, received the purification, and then Nehemiah says, all right, I want you on the wall here and I want you on the wall here, and they said, I'm not interested. I don't really feel like I'm a singer. I'd rather actually play the instrument. Or I'd actually like this part over here. What would have happened? They would have missed out on the most incredible worship service. They would have missed out. And sometimes we sit back and we say, I'm not interested in doing this, or I'm not interested in doing that. And then we wonder why we don't have joy in our lives. Instead of being a river of blessing, we've become a dam, holding back the rivers of God's joy and blessing in our lives. They were missing out on God's blessing. You want to know when I'm most blessed? Being with the family of God. I absolutely am thrilled to come on a Sunday morning and to worship with each one of you. And we all have our parts. I remember that when I had started here 9 years ago, 11 years ago here, 9 years ago when I started to do the music, I had a friend of mine who said to me, he says, well, if you're doing the music each and every single Sunday morning, don't you think you're going to get tired of it? I had never considered that. It hadn't crossed my mind. All I knew was that I loved to worship the Lord. And I really didn't have an answer, except that my expectation was that I was going to love it just as much years down the road than I did before. Except I had one thing wrong. I don't love it as much as I did years and years ago. I love it more. I love it more. Because I love each one of you, and I love the Lord God more in my own heart, and He has purified my life. And as I have become a channel to trust that the Lord would use me to bless other people, I have been filled with His joy. I cannot give enough to ever outgive the Lord. As I give, He fills my life. As I give, He fills my life. As I give, He fills my life. And it overflows in my life into the life of many other people. And that is what He wants to do in your life. And don't tell me that your job is too small. I'm just an usher. I'm just a greeter. I'm just a sound tech. I'm just a lyric person. Everybody has a part in the body of Christ. And when we play that part, there is joy. The last thing I want us to see is not only an appointed day, not only an available way, but there was an authentic display of thanksgiving. Look at it in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 40. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. And then look down in verse 42. The last part of the verse says, the singers sang loudly with Jezrehiah, the director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. I want to talk about three things here as I close. I want you to see how they displayed a joy that was courageous. That was courageous. You see, as they built these walls, they encountered some enemies along the way who tried to stop the building of the wall. And I love how in this passage it says that they sang loudly. These enemies of the people of God says, you can't build this wall. You can't do it. And how they love to testify standing on that wall that their God was mighty enough to save. And he did it. They sing loudly, not afraid of their enemies, but praising their God. They were courageous, not only because of how they sang, but don't miss it, they walked on the wall that they built. And if you read back in Nehemiah, you'll read that one of the accusations of the enemy, they said this, that even if a fox jumped on the wall, it would fall over. Remember that? Even if a fox jumped on the wall? And here they are, these choirs, standing on the wall. Courageous in their joy, praising their God. Also, they displayed a joy that was contagious. It was contagious. Look in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Also that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. They also rejoiced. Fathers, your children need to hear you sing to God. We have a society of dropout dads. And we come on a Sunday morning and we try to act cool. And our children are watching to see if what we believe is true. And when you come on a Sunday morning and you gather with the people of God and you pour out your heart before God, your children are going to sing to you. They're going to see that what in your life is real, and it will be passed on to them. Mothers, worship the Lord with gladness because your daughters, your sons are watching you. They are looking to see if it's genuine. Oh, praise God that we have a reason to celebrate, and our children need to see it and hear. It was a contagious joy. And the last thing, it was a joy that was continuous. Oh, the service may have stopped at this moment, but if you look in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, at the end, it says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Now, how do you suppose that those afar off heard? Was it because they sang loudly and played loudly? I suppose that is a possibility. But there's only so far that that sound and music could travel. And so how did people hear? The word of this celebration just began to spread and to spread and to spread and to spread until the whole world in that area afar off was hearing about this celebration in Jerusalem. And oh, I pray that here at this church, we would be a church that would celebrate and that people would talk about it. And they would say, there's something different about this church. They're praising God and it's real and it's genuine. And they talk about it and they talk about it. And the sound of Heritage is heard afar off. The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. One of the greatest evidences of a changed life is our joy. Our joy. Oh, praise God, we have reason to celebrate. So in conclusion, I want to tell you a story I heard. There was a conference that was held in the United States. And it was called a Week of Champions. And they invited athletes, popular individuals who had a good testimony for the Lord, and they brought them to this Week of Champions, and they had them share their testimonies. And one of the gentlemen who was to share the testimony was a gentleman named Paul Anderson. Now, Paul Anderson was the strongest man in the world at that time. Strongest man in the world. fact, they say he could lift 6,000 pounds on his back. I mean, he was a mighty man. And he stood there at that week of champions, and he shared his testimony about how God had changed his life. And at the end, he testified this. He says, if the strongest man in the world needs to be saved, so do you. It was a great testimony. Well, the next day, there was a pastor who was in the nearby area, and there was a gentleman that came during the altar call to profess their faith in Christ. And the pastor talked to this individual, and he said, how did you come to know Christ? He says, well, it was at the Week of Champions that I received Christ, and I'm making it public today. And he says, what night was it? He says, it was the night that Paul Anderson spoke. And the pastor said, oh, that was a good testimony. And the gentleman said, I don't really remember what Paul Anderson said. So the pastor said, well, if you don't remember what he said, then how did you come to know that you needed Jesus? He said, there was a little man in a wheelchair. His name was George Wilson. The pastor really couldn't remember who this individual was because this individual was not a part of the main programming. In fact, there was an open time that people could come and testify to Christ. And there was this man in a wheelchair that came up and testified about Jesus. He was just one of the students. And the gentleman who came forward to profess his faith in Christ said this, that when he saw this man in a wheelchair come before the assembly and share about what Christ had done in his life, he said, I saw the joy in that man's life, and if it was real to him, it must be real. And you see, the world is watching us. And if he sees followers of God that are not filled with joy, they won't believe a thing you say. But if they witness a radiant, transforming joy in your life, they are going to look at you and they are going to say, I want what you have. You don't have to be the strongest man in the world. You just need to be a follower of God filled with joy. And even if you're in a wheelchair, giving testimony as just a fellow student, they will watch and see what you have and want that same joy. Do you have joy this morning? I want to invite Dallas to come, and he's going to help me as we lead in a closing song. But the source of all true joy can only be found in God. He is your joy and your salvation. And Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, I have saved this phrase because it is the best for last. It says, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. You say, I can't be joyful this morning. You turn your heart to God and you say, God, fill me with your joy. And God can make you rejoice with great joy. Because joy is just a byproduct of following Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for the joy that we have in you. And I pray that during this Thanksgiving season that we would call to mind the things that you have done. For you are a great and mighty and awesome Savior. And I pray that if there is someone here who does not know you, I pray that today they would choose to believe on you. And if you are here and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you could pray something like this. You could say, Dear Jesus, I know that I have sinned. I believe that you died for me and rose again. And I ask you now to take my sinful heart and that you would cleanse it and wash it that I might be whiter than snow. Come into my life, change me, fill me with your joy. And thank you, God, that you have saved me. And Lord God, if there are some here who are a follower of you, but they just don't have the joy, would you, O God, fill them with your joy? Would they respond to your invitation, receive your purification, and get a part of your organization, the church, that they might be filled with joy? And so, oh God, we thank you for this day. We give you the glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.